We're now going to take the next subject, which is called piercing the veils. And to some extent, this is self-explanatory in title, but it has great mysteries involved.
So we will begin with quote 44. O my brother, sanctify thy heart, illumine thy soul, and sharpen thy sight, that thou mayest perceive the sweet accents of the birds of heaven and the melodies of the doves of holiness, warbling in the kingdom of eternity, and perchance apprehend the inner meaning of these utterances and their hidden mysteries.
Now this is, again, getting right to the heart of the matter. We have to detach ourselves from being attached to the things that are irrelevant to our spiritual journey. We have to inform ourselves and expose our soul to the revelations from God, and therefore, and sharpen our focus that we can see and perceive the sweet accents. It's not just what they say, but to pick out the particular key points to really grasp the significance of the Word of God. And this is expressed in the terms of the birds of heaven, which are, Baha'u'llah, of course, refers to himself as a bird of heaven. Jesus Christ was known as a dove of holiness. And you notice it's birds of heaven and doves of holiness, meaning many manifestations. If we wish to understand their words, we have to kind of pick out the key to that they're saying. And you might say the more universal truth that they're saying, which then we can understand the inner meanings and get the hidden mysteries that are contained in the words of that particular manifestation of God. This is a basic idea that we have to start using in order to gain greater understanding.
So we move to quote 45. We have mentioned how innumerable are the pearls which have remained unpierced in the shell of our heart. How many the hurries of inner meaning that are as yet concealed within the chamber of divine wisdom. None hath yet approached them, hurries, who no man nor spirit hath touched before.
This was a particularly significant passage for me when I read this. First of all, you notice what it's saying. There are pearls of wisdom, pearls of understanding, that have not yet been discovered in the teachings and writings of Baha'u'llah. This is Baha'u'llah writing. And that there's these huris of inner meaning that are yet concealed, that nobody's seen them yet. But they're there to be discovered. Now, the term huris is often, people just pass over it, never question, what is a huri? Most of us have heard about the Muslims who believe that when they die, when they've served a cause by blowing themselves up in the marketplace, they're going to go to a place where there are 72 virgins waiting for them. Well, you can kind of see why some pimply-faced high school boy is willing to strap a bomb on himself, and because he doesn't have to go through the usual ways of going to school. He can go right up there and get right with them ladies. Huris traditionally were virgins waiting for you in paradise. Here, Baha'u'llah is giving us a different meaning of the huris. They're not actual ladies. They're symbols of the maids of heaven, each one bearing aloft a truth that wishes to be shared with us. But we have to have the right attitude, the right heart, to receive them. These are the mysteries of God that God wishes us to know. Now, I'm going to hearken you back to Tablet of the Holy Mariner, where it describes the maid of heaven, who is the one that appeared to Baha'u'llah, has handmaidens. In other words, the maiden that appeared to Baha'u'llah is the whole revelation. But she has handmaidens of particular truths for a particular time, at a particular space, that are waiting to descend to who? It says, go down and see if you can find anybody worthy who has the spirit of the Arabian youth. And if you find one, kiss their feet with joy that you found one with a pure heart that you can share the mystery with. But in fact, in the tablet, this Huri was the recognition that Baha'u'llah was the manifestation of God to the Babis. There wasn't one Babi who was ready to hear the truth from Baha'u'llah. And that opportunity came. And it says she dies. I suggest to you, the opportunity that was there for them perished. Came and it went. How many Huris of understanding has Baha'u'llah sent to you, to me? But we were looking the other way. We were preoccupied with other things. And that Huri of opportunity could not reveal itself to us. And the opportunity came and the opportunity passed. Now, let's trust maybe that this was not yet the time. But what if there are truths that God wishes you to know about your life waiting to reveal itself? It's never been revealed before because it's meant for you to see it and hear it. That idea that these Huris are waiting patiently for us to prepare ourselves so that they can visit us with wisdom and understanding of purpose and meaning. Now, I'm going to share a little story because I think this might be appropriate. I think I mentioned before that I spent a period of time blind. Blindness came about because I asked God to know what the hidden mysteries were. I had no idea about Huris or anything else at this time. I was on a business trip on my way from Spokane, Washington to Atlanta, Georgia. I was on the airplane, and I'm not going to go into all the details except I was watching a movie. The movie came to an end. Suddenly, I found myself in a trance. And I saw a beautiful female figure in the distance, off the ground, her clothes swirling around her. She was beautiful beyond belief. And a voice said, "This is the living truth. This is the living truth." And she started to come towards me, and I can only say, just gushed with love. Just unbelievable joy came to me. And I mean, it was ecstasy beyond, and I started to sob with ecstasy, sobbing and sobbing. This went on until she finally came close enough, she came into my arms, and I held on to her, and I never wanted her to let go. And then the voice said, "This is the beauty of your own soul if you remain faithful to the end." And then the people on the plane woke me up thinking I was having some sort of attack of some sort because I was over there sobbing and sobbing. When I looked down, I was wet from tears on my front. I told them, "No, I'm fine. I'm okay." But I didn't know what was going on. I went into the restroom to clean up and I looked in the mirror. My eyes were bloodshot. When my business companions met me at the airport, they said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "I don't know. And I don't want to talk about it." They took me to a hotel and checked me in. And that night I read The Life of St. Francis, and in there it says, "So Francis, what's the real truth? What's the foundational truth?" "Trust in God," he says. "Trust in God no matter what happens. Trust God."